House Committee on Healthcare to order. And we have a full agenda, and we have to be on the floor at 4 o'clock. So a couple questions. Jim, are you able to come back for, on 889?
If it's not,
okay. Then let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 889. I know this is only going to take a second, so go for it.
I'm heading out tonight to Washington, D.C., so I mean, I never come back as one as a whole person. I don't know. Okay, for the record, I'm Jim Thompson, Executive Director of the Oregon State Pharmacy Association, and beings that you seem to be pressed for time, we'll cut to the chase. This bill is a cleanup piece of legislation. The unbeknownst to us or the Board of Pharmacy, pharmacists in Oregon in the practice statutes were never declared to be healthcare professionals. And we, a few years ago, authorized pharmacists to do immunizations. They're a large purveyor of flu shots in this state, more so than in many other states. And it came up this last season. There are a handful of third-party payers who decided not to reimburse pharmacists for the flu shots they had given because they're not healthcare providers under Oregon statute. Therefore, they don't have to reimburse them for anything. So the simplest solution seemed to be to add into the Pharmacy Practice Act that we'll recognize them to be healthcare professionals since we've already told them they can do immunizations. It's kind of a sticky wicket, you know. What are non-healthcare professionals doing giving immunizations? So it does not expand their scope of practice, does not allow them additional anything. It only gets them paid for what they've already done.
Great, thank you. Questions for Mr. Thompson?
Madam Chair.
Representative
Kent. Mr. Thompson, do you have any explanation for the three no votes in the Senate from Senators Schrader, Whitsitt, and Winters?
I wish I did. No, I don't.
Thank you. I've just been curious.
Yeah, I'm curious, too.
But, ongoing question.
In this business, when you get 25 yes votes, you go, that'll do. You know.
Other questions?
There was no discussion on the floor. On it, no.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Thompson. We'll close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 889.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would move Senate Bill 889 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Senate Bill 889, motion is to move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Aaron, call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Excused. Excused.
Chair Grant.
Excused. Aye.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative.
I would move Senate Bill 889 to the consent calendar.
Motion is to move the bill to the consent calendar. Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. And with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 889. Jim, can you come back? Jim Dameron? If we don't get you today? Okay, great. Thank you for your patience there. Let's move then to a public hearing, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 144A. Sandy, could you describe this for us?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 144A changes the name of the Board of Radiologic Technology to the Board of Medical Imaging Technology. It adds the definition of medical imaging technology to reflect advances in the field. It also changes the title of a limited permit holder to a limited x-ray machine operator and defines the licensing requirements for that limited permit operator, expands various provisions of the bill and conforms language to new definitions to provide the board the authority to license and regulate the medical imaging technologies. It exempts certain persons, including licensed practitioners and persons who operate ultrasound equipment, for the sole purpose of physical therapy from any board regulation. It adds physicians to the definition of licensed practitioner. Also adds the applicant, requires that the applicants undergo a background check to be certified by the nationally recognized certification organization in the specialty for which their licensure is sought. And it also specifies conditions that the board can issue the temporary license. No revenue, minimal fiscal impact, but there's no statement. Senate floor vote with 24 ayes, no nays, and 2 excused.
Thank you, Sandy. We have several folks listed here for the Board of Radiologic Technology, and are you all in a group? I'm having trouble reading the names. There's Lorraine, Linda, and Ernest. Do you want to all come up together? Thank you. Please come on up. Good afternoon. Just whoever wants to start, state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Kotick. My name is Linda Russell. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Radiologic Technology. And it is a mouthful. That's probably one of the reasons we want to change it. We're here today to talk to you a little bit about what our bill and what we're trying to do with this bill. And basically, our board was created in 1977, and the world of X-ray has changed drastically over the last 25, 30 years. And there are a lot of procedures that are commonplace today that at that time were either just coming on the forefront or weren't even here yet. And so what our bill's trying to do is bring the board together with how X-ray, which is now called medical imaging, where we are with that. What it will do will be, one, to change the name of the board to the Board of Radiologic, from the Board of Radiologic Technology to the Board of Medical Imaging Technology. The other thing it will do would be to include those modalities that are very commonplace, and they would fall under the authority of the board for licensure. And it, this kind of goes back a couple of sessions ago when I was before Ways and Means. They were quite, it was actually Senator Gordley, she was quite surprised that, for instance, MRI, nuclear medicine, and ultrasound were not regulated in Oregon, and she asked me to look into it. So my board, I brought it back to my board, and they did, and here we are with this bill. And that's what we're attempting to do, is to make sure that those individuals that are working out in the facilities in Oregon are qualified to do it. Those individuals that fall under these particular modalities, if they're already radiologic technologists, we've made provisions within our licensure that we're changing from radiologic technologists, radiation therapists, limited permit holders to medical imaging technologists, and then we would list their specialties underneath the license. And if they're already registered or licensed with us, then we will have no additional fee for them. So they would be able to, if they do MRI, for instance, and they're an RT, then those would be listed and it would be no additional fee. The other thing that we're doing and trying to do is we're doing this with our professional societies, and Thomas King is here today from the Oregon Society of Radiologic Technology, and he has worked closely with the National Society, which is the American Society of Radiologic Technology, to help modernize and change the title of the limited permit holder to the limited X-ray machine operator. And this is a national title that's recognized. And the direction that this is all going is our particular, it's taken us 6 years, but we finally changed over to the ART limited scope exam for competency for the limited permit. And hopefully the time will come when they'll be able to have the borders to come down and they'll be able to practice from one state to the other that recognizes the ART certification. And basically, that's real fast explanation of what the bill does. It looks big and massive. That's because it involves changing the name in it, so it's everything. We do have a provision in there where our licensees that were really trained on the job, they never went to the educational bodies or the national accreditation bodies for the different modalities, that they would be grandfathered in, so no one's going to lose their jobs. That's very important to our board. And I think I've kind of given you pretty much what it's about. Do you have any questions?
Questions for Ms. Russell, Representative Bonamici?
I have a question. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Russell. I have a question about, I have a whole stack of letters here that from stenographers who are concerned about their inclusion in this bill. And I wonder if you could talk about the decision-making process that you went through and why stenographers who seem to think that they have a different needs, why are they included in the Senate bill?
Representative Bonamici, if I would, I'm not a technologist myself, and my explanation probably wouldn't be as defined as either Ernest or Thomas could give you. So if you don't mind, I would rather that they answer that question for you.
Be glad to. I'm Ernest Wickham, chair of the OBRT, to Representative Bonamici. The board feels that there are folks out there, whether they be ultrasound, MRI, or nuclear medicine technologists working that either have received on-the-job training, for example, and there are also some of those technologists that have credentials. At the same time, there's no oversight in the state of Oregon currently for any of those people to substantiate either their credentials or their backgrounds who are doing these particular type of procedures. In addition, there have been a number of cases where we've had inappropriate activities by, in this one situation of an ultrasound tech that led to a prosecution. And in the state of Oregon, there's no way to keep that person from working again in the field under the current situation that we have in the state right now because there's no control and no licensure, for example. I do not know what the concerns the ultrasound folks have other than perhaps the licensing fee, but we're trying to provide oversight for all of the individuals doing those type of procedures in the state, not just necessarily the certified ones, for example.
Additional questions? I actually would like to make a comment, and I'm not sure, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but it's dated May 10th, which is today. It's the Senator Morissette from the American Society of Radiologic Technologists. Now, we do have a letter in support of the bill in general from the American Society that we read into the record, but this is a letter saying that they would like to express their support of the Society of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers' effort to remove reference to sonography in SB 144. So I just want you to be aware that we just received this, and my understanding is the reason this didn't get discussed in the Senate side is because it moved so quickly it didn't caught everyone. And maybe that's not true, but on the sonographer issue. But we have sonographers who are here to testify on this issue. But I just wanted to make you aware of that letter that we received.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Thomas King, President, Oregon Society of Radiologic Technologists, Vice Chair of COTEC, and members of the committee. It's the position of our organization to promote the profession in healthcare overall. We've had absolutely no negative comments whatsoever from any of the other modalities other than ultrasound. And as I explained to the American Society when I met with them in Washington last month, was that if they're a member of their national society and they've passed the registry, that's wonderful. That's great. It still doesn't mean if anybody's coming into the state to practice and they're taking care of Oregon citizens that, one, are they backgrounded? How do we know that they didn't get kicked out of another state and they come over and move to Oregon to work? I explained that issue, and I thought we were under agreement with what we call the ESRT with that. And those are the two major things. And the other thing is that there's people out there into different situations where they're not using ultrasound for medical diagnosis, and we need to bring that within the scope. So that's the main purpose of this. It's not to single out one modality over another. And virtually every other modality, we have no negative comment on this. So.
Well, I guess my question would be is, unlike other modalities, this would be the first type of licensure for this modality. Is that correct?
In our state, yes, it would be. And it's anything new. I remember, in general, like in radiography, We have 13 states out there that have absolutely low licensure right now. We're going on the federal level to establishment of minimum standards to begin with.
Well, and just want to say, I didn't mean to, you know, interrupt your testimony, but I want to make sure you get to say whatever you need to say, and then we'll have on the opponents, which are primarily sonographers.
I just want to say I understand your concerns. We generally work well together. We try to play well together. And we're both trying to take care of the patient. A lot of times when they're in a hospital setting where you're having ultrasound, we're also doing some sort of x-ray. And generally, the folks I work with are very professional. So it's not the issue there. It's mostly maybe outside of the mainstream healthcare that maybe we need to take a closer look at that.
Thank you. Representative Gelser?
Sure. Was there any discussion about this issue on the other side through the Senate hearings?
No.
Vice Chair Kotek, Representative Gelser. We've had extensive discussions with both the Oregon Medical Association and the Oregon Hospital Association and other stakeholders. And up to this point, we've had a pretty good support for this bill without little opposition up till now.
But there wasn't a formal discussion in the course of the public hearing. This issue, the Senate didn't have the opportunity to grapple with the issue that the sonographers have raised pretty vocally to this committee as this hearing has been.
Representative Kotek, Representative Gelser, we had a hearing. It was published and whatever, and nobody came forward up till now.
Representative Flores?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess I probably have somewhat the same stack of letters in opposition or concerned about perhaps an amendment to this particular bill from the medical sonographer community. And I would just kind of like to run down some of their objections so that at least you'd be alert to them. This bill would subject ultrasound, a field that does not involve the use of ionizing radiation, to the same regulatory structure as medical technologies that do use ionizing radiation, even though ultrasound does not involve the kinds of health and safety risks inherent in the use of ionizing radiation. The bill would subject cardiac ultrasound, which is practiced in large measure by cardiologists, to a regulatory body that does not include any cardiology representation, and that is, in fact, dominated by the radiologic community. It is inappropriate to delegate regulatory authority to a body that lacks the substantive expertise to regulate wisely. The bill would enable a board, currently the Board of Radiologic Technology, to designate the types of national certification organizations that are deemed to be acceptable for cardiac sonography without specifying the standards that must be met by such certification organizations. This may result in the acceptance of certifications that are considered unacceptable by the echocardiology community. Cardiac ultrasound is a team practice in which results are dependent on decisions made by physicians, cardiac sonographers, and others in close consultation. The goal of quality in cardiac ultrasound is best served by facility accreditation, which involves a review of interpreting physician competence, facility, including equipment, characteristics, and cardiac sonographer's competence, rather than licensure of cardiac sonographers alone, which is the route adopted by Senate Bill 144. The bill provides no voice within the board's proposed governance structure for diagnostic medical sonography. The goal of quality care for our patients would not be well served by the inclusion of echocardiology in this legislation. So that's kind of a list of concerns, and would like to have some revision on this side.
And I'm not sure. Feel free to, if you have a brief response to that, but I think it's helpful to hear what we're hearing from the other side, but I think we're going to get some testimony on that as well.
Vice Chair Kotek and Representative Flores. Again, this is new information that we only made aware of today. We're willing to look at those issues. Some of those things have been addressed by the board in terms of our structure and including and identifying certification organizations that would cover that issue with those folks, with representation on the board, for example. But, again, this is the first time we've been made aware of this.
Madam Chair, I would hope that there is perhaps the opportunity to have for these folks to have some consultation and discussion. I realize we have to hear from
the other side. Oh, absolutely. We are just doing a public hearing today. So. We want to hear from the other side, and I think you're going to want to talk probably afterwards. So, and in the interest of time, was there additional comments? Or I also had Lorraine from the board. Did you want to make a couple comments? Because otherwise I'll move on to the...
Just real quick.
Your name again.
Thomas King, President of Oregon Society of Radiologic Technologists. When we looked at this, basically, they wrote this to be loose enough to, one, include ultrasound folks to be represented on the regulatory board in an adequate representation. And there is some radiology involvement because a good portion of ultrasound exams are read by a radiologist trained in reading ultrasound exams. So there is a little bit of a tie in there. But I want to let you know that they would be excluded on the board. There would be representation.
And just if I could, that would be the section that talks about the membership, and it changes it to at least 5 shall be licensed medical imaging technologists. Is that what you're talking about? One of those, or more than one, could be a sonographer. Okay. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, could
yes, Representative.
I think even after this testimony, it's not clear to me what the problem was that this legislation was designed to address. I started to get a sense of it perhaps when you related the anecdote about Senator Gordley and her concern, but could you go explain that just a little bit more?
Chair Kotek, Representative Keenan, yes, I would. Actually, the bill, what we're trying to attempt to do here is to address the world of medical imaging as it is today. Nothing's been changed since 1977 with regards to the procedures and the type of different exams and things that are common day in place in the hospitals and facilities. And that's what this is about. It's about bringing us to where we need to be to make sure that when patients come into these facilities, the person that is giving that exam is qualified, that they haven't committed some type of criminal background to where, for instance, ultrasound, you're usually using this in very private areas. And if we have someone coming into a state, first off, we don't regulate it. So they come into our state and they start doing these procedures. How do we know that this person hasn't done something terrible somewhere else? If it's not regulated, you don't know these things. And it's to protect. We're here to protect. We're a regulatory board. And that's what this is about. It's about providing better protection for the citizens of Oregon. And that's about the truth of it.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, Representative.
You mentioned there was one case, and it sounded like it was a bad situation. That's one case. Can you give this committee an idea of how prevalent these sort of situations come up? Not specifics, but in numbers.
Chair Kotek, Representative Bowen. Actually, I cannot, and the only reason that we can tell you about this one is that this particular person was also a radiologic technologist, and he worked at one of the hospitals. And because of that, and because it took place on the hospital's grounds, we were able to, our attorney with the Department of Justice was able to correlate his behavior, and the license was taken away, not only by us, but also from the accreditation body, the American...
ARDMS.
I'm sorry. I'm just not a technologist, so I'm the great paper pusher, but, you know, that's why I've got him here today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Lorraine, did you want to say anything?
If I may, please. Yes. Thank you, Dr.
Just state your name for the record, then.
My name is Lorraine Gavacqua. I am a registered technologist and a member of the OBRT. There are a lot of issues that are just kind of grating about this whole thing, and we're not insensitive to what your cardiology people are saying. One, we cannot prevent a cardiologist from doing ultrasound. He's a doctor. We do not regulate them. So doctors are not what we're going to stop. Number two, Representative Bunn, because we don't have any regulation over these people, we can't count what we don't know, and that's part of our problem. We have this one particular individual, because like Linda said, he was ART registered and as a radiographer, came before our board going, this gentleman has inappropriately touched three female patients, one underage. Okay, do something. Well, all we can do as a board is yank his license to take x-rays and report him to the registry, and they yanked his registry. He'll never take another x-ray in this country ever again, any place in the United States. Also reported him to the ARDMS. The ARDMS says you're not going to be registered to do ultrasound any place in the United States, except for in those states that don't require ARDMS or any kind of licensing, and then you can do ultrasound. He's still working in this state. He's still doing ultrasound, and there's not a thing that we can do about it at all. And this is the type of abuse that we're concerned with. We're concerned with the fact that somebody can buy an ultrasound machine and put it on a truck and tote it to every local Fine Mart and Walmart and have all these tests done and charge people $130, $140 for them. We don't know who's reading them. We don't know if the technologists that are working in those rooms or doing those scans know anything more about doing ultrasound than any of you do, other than you start smear gel on the person's body and move the thing around. You know, there's no way of knowing this because there is no regulation. This is what our bill is attempting to do. We were asked by the legislation a session ago why in the Dickens people were going around. Anybody could go around and put on a lab coat and be a sonographer or be a nuclear medicine tech or be an MRI tech when they're all using, if not radiation, they are using extremely high strength magnets in MRI, strong enough to basically be able to pick up gurneys and oxygen tanks and propel them across the room. These people don't have to have any licensing or regulation or any education although thank goodness the radiologists that have these machines demand it. That's the only thing that's protecting the citizens of Oregon there. And with ultrasound, they can turn around and buy a machine and have the clerk come in and learn how to do it on a two-hour training session from a sales rep, and that's the end of it. What we're saying is that the people that are ARDMS, the ones that really, really, really care about what they're doing and the quality, and the same thing for the cardiology and echo people, they really care about what they're doing and they're qualified, will then help us keep the riffraff out of medical imaging. Medical imaging really is no longer just x-ray. It's all of these fields, and the radiologists that work in these fields read the images produced by all of these fields. So they are our cousins. There may not be blood brothers and sisters, but they are our cousins, and they do run into the same issues in patient care that we do as radiographers and as radiation therapists.
Thank you, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board, would you be the source point for any complaints about aberrant behavior out in the field that complaints would be directed to?
Representative Flores, yes, we would. But if we don't regulate them, there's nothing we can do about them.
Follow up?
Yes.
And I understand that. But I'm just trying to kind of lay a foundation of evidence that you might bring to us other than what you suggested was a possibility. Have you had reports of people who have bought an x-ray machine and put on a lab coat and going around smearing jelly on people and...
Not an X-ray machine, but ultrasound machines. Any medical practitioner can buy a machine and put in his office and have whoever operates it.
Follow up. Mm-hmm. But you suggested that somebody could buy a machine and take it and put it in front of any pharmacy or parking lot of some place and operate this equipment. So is that something that you had reported as a problem, or is that just something we're trying to prevent?
I personally at home have received the advertisements to have this as a consumer, not knowing that I was a technologist. I've gotten stuff like that in my own mailbox. And for $139, we'll do all the following on you. And by the way, you don't have to disrobe, but I don't know how they're going to get gel and a contact to skin without you having to disrobe to do all the studies that they say they're going to do. They don't say who's going to read them. They don't say who's doing them. The only thing is that the flyer is signed by an ARDMS sonographer. But who she's got working for her, you don't know.
Okay, just a last comment. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So you don't have a record of complaints, and I understand that because they're not regulated, you can't regulate them or track them, but you haven't had anybody call and complain to you. Other than what you got in the mail and by virtue of your own experience and expertise, but for something wasn't right.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I'd like to move on to a few more folks, but thank you very much and for your testimony. We have Lorinda Andrist and Linda Quinn, who have traveled a ways. Someone's from Coos Bay. Thanks for coming. And I'll add one more person to that panel, and that would either be Robert McDonald or Peter Shorf-Wash. I hope I'm getting your name right. I assume you're all sonographers or thereabouts. Just introduce yourself for the record. And
my name is Lorinda Andrist, and I appreciate being able to provide additional information to the committee regarding the profession of diagnostic medical sonography. I'm currently a clinical sonographer, and I have spent 21 years as a sonographer in the state of Oregon. I have practiced in rural and urban settings. I have practiced in radiology, cardiology, and currently in practicing an obstetrical practice in Eugene. I am also representing the Society of Diagnostic Medical Sonography. I am the immediate past president, and I've been on the board almost 12 years. We currently have over 19,000 members of sonographers in the United States, and Oregon has approximately 300. There are additionally another estimated 300 credentialed sonographers in the state of Oregon through the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonography, and Rob, to my left here, is also a member of their board. My purpose today is to ensure that patients are receiving optimal ultrasound examinations. I would totally agree with the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technologists that the world of imaging has certainly changed over the last 30 years. And within our profession of sonography, what has happened is while we developed out of radiography, we have grown into almost every medical specialty that is practiced today. Additionally, I would also agree that we wholeheartedly support the establishment of educational program standards and credentialing standards for sonographers. However, I would say that I do not think that licensure is the best method. The proposed legislation is more than just a name change. By including sonography in the definition of medical imaging, all of the stakeholders that partake in ultrasound examinations today have not been consulted. And I would like to point out that our counsel was not sought by the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology in regarding the language of this proposal. Sonography is utilized by a wide variety of medical specialties, including OBGYN, cardiology, vascular surgery, internal medicine, neurology, and emergency medicine. And if you look at Medicare data regarding the utilization of ultrasound services, less than 50% of the exams are actually interpreted by radiologists today, and I believe that's based on 2005 data. The proposal is placing licensure regulation on a profession for the first time and deserves thoughtful consideration by all the stakeholders and by the committee available today. No other state currently requires licensure of sonographers, and that is because we have other processes in place and that are moving forward to establishing standards. I have been told that the committee is concerned about bureaucratic roadblocks, and the proposal constitutes a roadblock. And I would like to raise the following question: if the Health Committee has considered the implementation effects of sonographers. Currently, nationally, there is a 12.8 vacancy rate for positions of sonography, and we would expect that those data would be similar for the state of Oregon as well. I am concerned that the Oregon Board of Medical Imaging does not have the knowledge base or expertise to establish, determine education and accreditation standards for sonographers. Currently, there are three methods of process to establish standards for sonography. The first is the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonography. It is a voluntary credentialing process that has been in place for over 30 years and is approaching 50,000 credentialed sonographers to a consistent care standard for the individual areas of practice. There are studies submitted to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services in support of the effectiveness of this credential, and we've been working with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid and local carrier medical directors to require sonographers to have mandatory credentialing and lab accreditation, and there are currently over 30 states that have these standards. Yesterday, there was a meeting in Fargo, North Dakota, with the Meridian Carrier Medical Director, and Meridian is the carrier for the state of Oregon. We do not yet know the outcome of that, but this very topic was under discussion yesterday with the Meridian Carrier Medical Director. Additionally, there is the CARE Bill, which is the national bill that the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology representatives alluded to. And this is the Consistency, Accuracy, Responsibility, and Excellence Act. It has been worked on by national organizations for over 10 years and is currently supported by an alliance of over 20 professional organizations, of which the American Society of Radiologic Technology was a founder, and the SDMS, my society, the Society of Diagnostic Medical Sonography, is a current member. We have been working on this project for almost 10 years, and in December 2006, it passed the Senate unopposed. Unfortunately, the House adjourned before we could go to the House. However, we have been told by multiple different lobbyists that this bill has a very good chance of passing this year in both chambers. Now, I am a five-generation Oregonian, and I'm very...
It looks like you have written testimony, so I would ask that. I want to make sure your colleagues have...
I will, and I'm almost done.
Okay. I'm being very thorough, which is helpful. Thank you.
I would just point out that I recognize that this is a state, and sometimes it's not always appreciated being dictated to on a national level. And the CARE Bill allows states to regulate themselves. The purpose of the legislation is to establish that there are minimum founding blocks for them to build upon. And I'm going to turn things over to my colleagues for their statements.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And if we could get a copy of your written testimony, we can make copies.
That part was handwritten.
Oh.
I do have other things to provide.
Okay, so great.
Well, since I will be brief, I will go next. My name is Lindy Quinn, and I'm a clinical sonographer. I live in Coos Bay, Oregon. And in 1989, I moved to Coos Bay to work as a diagnostic medical sonographer. I'm credentialed in obstetrics, gynecology, vascular technology, and abdominal ultrasound by the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers. I went to work at Bay Area Hospital, and part of the attraction for me was the pay at the time, which was at the top of the state. Their pay scale for sonographers had risen to this level secondary to unsuccessful efforts to recruit sonographers to the area. The hospital had adopted a program of cross-training licensed X-ray techs in order to provide ultrasound services. This problem still exists today for many rural areas. A state-required license would not ensure quality patient care and would most likely increase the access issues our patients in rural Oregon already face. There are several details of implementing licensure on ultrasound that I am concerned have not been thoughtfully considered. There are many specialty groups involved. I have personally worked for radiologists, obstetricians, vascular surgeons, perinatologists, and gynecologists. Additionally, cardiology, as you've heard, is a large user of ultrasound testing. They are all key stakeholders and deserve input into business that affects their ultrasound services. Once a sonographer is qualified to sit for the credentialing test, they must choose which specialties they will take for the exam for. I chose OBGYN, abdomen, vascular. These tests are costly, and many times a sonographer chooses to take a test every few years. I do not believe the issue of sonographer credentialing in the specialty they are practicing has been considered, and this is critical to ensuring quality care for our patients. The CARE Bill addresses these issues, including grandfathering of sonographers in gradually as to avoid creating a hardship, gathering input from all the affected parties, and the challenges for the rural communities that they face have been also addressed in the CARE Bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. And Mr. McDonald?
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, my name is Robert McDonald. I am a pediatric cardiac sonographer up at Dornbecker Children's Hospital. I wear many hats among my professional organization. One of my hats has been past board member of the American Society of Echocardiography, past board member of Cardiovascular Credentialing International, which is our credentialing organization for cardiovascular technologists with echocardiography. And also, I'm currently one of the board members on the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonography. Currently, as my colleagues alluded to, and all the data that is in your packet, I don't want to spend much time re-emphasizing the points that have been made on paper and from my colleagues here. But I do have some concerns regarding the proposed government's structure on this bill. Even though they state five medical technology people, that five could end up being nuclear medicine, not only ultrasound, but it could be MRI, it could be X-ray, and so forth. That still limits representation because there's not only the cardiologists, adult cardiology, but pediatric cardiologists. There's the vascular surgeons, of course, the vascular sonographers. There's also the cardiac sonographers that also image both adult and pediatrics. So that's a big concern with this bill. Also, as the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonography currently has 53,000 credential members in the nation. Of those members, 650 are in Oregon. We're self-regulatory, and I think we do a really good job of being that. Also, one of the other things is that with the push for accreditation of labs, the quality of care, the quality of imaging modality for the patients is only going to get better and it's going to increase. And this is going to be really dictated by third-party payers and also probably the federal government as well. I would also emphasize what my colleague Lorenda said, that that none of the stakeholders were clearly not informed about this bill. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here in the House. We'd be still talking about in the Senate. The American College of Cardiology, the American Society of Echo, we did not know about this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
I had one brief.
Representative Gelser, then Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the concerns that you've brought forward, and certainly my email box has been full from your colleagues across the state, and I feel like I've heard pretty clearly the concerns. However, the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technologists, when they testified before, indicated that they have not heard from you, and I wonder what efforts, if any, you have made to communicate directly with the board in the time between passage in the Senate to now in terms of trying to come to some sort of a mutually satisfying agreement.
Actually, we felt that I have two responses. First of all, since they are proposing this legislation, we would have hoped we've been brought to the table since they were wanting to be inclusive prior to the drafting of the legislation. Second of all, when we did learn about the bill, I am going to read from the email that went to attach to the letter that you currently have from the ASRT, and it is dated May 10th, and is from Christine Long, who is the Director of Government Relations for the American Society of Radiologic Technology. It's very short. Hello, Donna, who is the SDMS Executive Director. Attached is a letter from January 22nd regarding Oregon's Senate Bill 144. This letter was sent before we knew of SDMS's concerns regarding the bill, and we have since communicated to Senator Morissette's staff that the ASRT does not take issue with the removal of sonography from the bill. In addition, during our RT and DC meeting in March, we met with the leadership from the Oregon Society of Radiologic Technologists, Tom King, President, and expressed to them our position that sonography should not be included in the bill based upon SDMS's request.
Follow up. And I appreciate that, and I can appreciate frustration with not being included. I've been there myself sometimes, and I hope that there's a way to get you guys together and talk. I think sometimes in this process, getting to that mutually agreeable end, sometimes involves talking together before you get to this point so that they have the opportunity to respond to the concerns. And so I hope that you might be willing to have conversations with them about how to improve the bill.
Yeah, we've been working very closely with their national society, the ASRT. I mean, we work with them on a very regular basis regarding the national legislation. And I think from the perspective of the alliance, it should preclude the state issues because that was, you know, the bill, its intent is to be the building block for states to further develop standards.
And I fully understand the federal perspective, but you know, the reality is we're talking about state legislation and the state level conversation has to take place.
One thing, if I could point out in regards to that, is that our Society of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers has a government relations committee that is 8 volunteer sonographers to cover 50 states. And so we try to pick up things that are happening at all levels, and they are, but we have, you know, 8 volunteers, and when this came to our attention, it was a matter of weeks before we were here today.
Thank you. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all for being here, and I have no doubt about your competency with what you do, and you talked all about your credentialing and your education and the accreditation. But we heard some concerns about the safety issue, and what I just want you to talk sort of in general about the possibility that was discussed earlier about somebody just putting on a lab coat and going out there and doing ultrasound, or the situation with the example that they gave about the person who apparently engaged in some criminal behavior and is still working. What's your response to those concerns, and what do you think is the likelihood of that happening?
It's always likely, but I could also say the same thing as a police officer pulling over someone and then doing something bad to another person. There's always bad apples in the barrel. How do we control that? Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I think part of our thing is self-regulatory and the background checks. A lot of ultrasound is being done in either a hospital-based and unfortunately also private practice office as well. But when you're hired at a hospital, you do get a background check, which, you know, that's the standard now. We, as the profession of those individuals who sits for exam also have a background check when they actually apply for the exams, for the credential. It's one of those issues that it could go around for all of the professions that we deal with.
Teachers being an example possibly too.
Teachers.
I would like to build on that a little bit more. One thing the ARDMS does post that they, this person is, for example, that their credential has been revoked. However, I would also make the point that in my experience as doing legal testimony as a consultant with attorneys, it is very clear the standard of care that employers require ARDMS certification for sonographers. And so I think you're looking at an employer-based issue as to why are they not hiring a credentialed sonographer, not necessarily sonographer them or the person that is doing the ultrasound themselves. They obviously have been convicted of criminal activity, and perhaps they should be monitored more from that perspective of the criminal activity as well. Your other question is regarding the ultrasound equipment. There's two different types of things that I think that they are referring to. Ultrasound machines by ultrasound companies must be sold to a physician. So, for example, I could not go out and buy an ultrasound machine because I am not a physician. However, some physicians may not be quite as discriminant on who they're buying those ultrasound machines for and signing those purchase agreements. There are screening ultrasound exams that are done, which is what she was referring to, and the SDMS is part of a very large coalition that is working with members of Congress establishing standards for screening ultrasounds, as well as certification, lab accreditation association, so that those patients are getting a quality medical exam, and that exam, the information from that exam is being provided to their physician so that they can act on, so that's not just gathering information indiscriminately. The other information process they were referring to is entertainment ultrasound, and we are very aware and very annoyed with that particular activity as well, and we've been working very closely with the FDA. And when we have had this happen, for example, in the state of Texas, we have worked with the state of Texas equivalent to the FDA, as well as the Physicians Board of Medical Practice. And so it's practicing medicine without a license.
Thank you. Representative Boone, did you have your question answered?
Well, I just, if I could, real quick. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question, and Representative Bonamici hit it pretty close, but you heard the earlier testimony about this clown who's apparently still out running around. It was one example, but it was one important example, who's apparently still running around. If we don't regulate this from a state perspective, I've got to think that you have to have an answer internally, if you will, to regulate that from some sort of internal watchdog perspective, because leaving this the status quo, I understand your objections, I really do, but leaving this status quo, this particular situation, I think is unacceptable. So maybe this is more comment than question, because maybe it's something you have to put your, you know, sharpen your pencils and put your heads together to figure out. But I think for your profession's sake, you can't leave a joker like this out there, because it's always going to come back, and you're going to have to face this situation every 2 years until something happens.
Well, I'm just concerned as to why the employer would hire someone that is not credentialed in the first place, because that is the standard of care for providing medical services.
Representative Ken?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it was really just a comment following up on Representative Gelzer's questioning related to, I think, establishing these lines of communication are really important. And I can understand your desire to work with the national, because that's what you've done historically. But clearly, there's a need to sit down and talk to the local folks. And I didn't hear in your responses quite that expression of willingness to do it. I hope that you will be ready to sit down with the Oregon state folks and work this out, certainly at the recommendation or discretion of the chair and others on the committee as far as where we go with this.
Thank you. We probably need to close up here. I had a comment and totally went on my mind. Yes, we have some issues here, and I'm hoping that as soon as you leave this room, you're going to go talk to the folks in the back of the room and have a conversation about what we do with this bill. Mm-hmm. I think the board brings up some very good reasons for the bill. You have some very good reasons for being upset with it. I would like you to talk it out, and then please get back to us by the beginning of early next week. The board should fill us in on the content of that conversation.
How would you like us to communicate? Would you like us to communicate directly to the Health Care Committee regarding that outcome?
To our committee administrator. But I want it as a joint feedback. I don't really want to hear that you're not talking to each other. I want to have a conversation, and you know, then you have some suggestions. So
yes,
but to the committee administrator would be great.
Okay.
I guess my last comment was, I know the OMA, Medical Association, is on the list to speak. Can you be super brief? With them? Okay, thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate that. And because we need to close up. But if you have additional information, you can pass it on. We'll take that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate testimony. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 144A.
Yep. Did you say Senate Bill?
Oh, sorry. Senate Bill 144A. Can we stay for 5 more minutes? Do people feel compelled to?
We need a quorum.
Are anyone carrying a bill?
We need a quorum. But there hasn't been a call of the House yet or anything. So
can we try
is somebody carrying the bill like ASAP?
I don't know.
Well, because we're going to face a situation here where we're going to have to start meeting after afternoon floor sessions, because we're going to get backed up really quickly. I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 586. And for the folks here for Senate Bill 36 and 163, we will hold you over until Monday. And I apologize. I know you're all waiting to speak. So 586, quickly.
Yes.
I know there was an individual who might have trouble coming back.
Thanks. We'll be very brief. Doug Barber here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Health Underwriters. Senate Bill 586 is a very simple bill. It is to maintain the status quo by repealing a sunset from a bill that was passed back in 2003. This bill deals with individual health insurance policies. The goal of this, the bill that we passed back in 2003, is to try to keep people out of the high-risk pool, to keep more people insured
buy straight individual insurance policies. With me today is Steve Doty, one of our agents, to talk a little bit, very briefly, about the details of that.
Thank you, Chair Kotek and members of the committee. My name is Steve Doty. I'm an insurance agent, as Doug mentioned, and a past president of the Oregon Association of Health Underwriters. This bill, as Doug mentioned, has to do with individual health insurance, and it just wants to remove the sunset that if it is removed, would make individual health insurance much more restrictive, much more difficult for people to acquire. The underwriting process is very restrictive, and people either are accepted or they end up in a high-risk pool. This allows the insurance carriers more flexibility to issue other policies than the ones that are applied for. OMIP is still an option, will always remain an option, so nobody's is losing any option here. It doesn't cost anything. It's just simply one more option that the carriers have, allowing them to insure them in the private market as opposed to going into OMIP. We've had conversations with the insurance department about this, and they are supportive of this. And so we would ask your support of this, and we're here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for being brief. So essentially, folks, if we allow this insurance aspect to sunset, we're in trouble in terms of flexibility, in terms of we could end up having a lot of folks in the high-risk pool, in the OMIP pool. Questions? I give you a second to read.
Has anybody signed up to oppose the bill?
Was there any opposition on the Senate?
No opposition. The discussion on the Senate side was all between us and the insurance division. Insurance. We worked that out. The insurance division does not object to the bill. It passed unanimously on the Senate side.
Can I just ask a clarifying
question? Representative Kent?
So failure to pass this bill would mean the sunset would take effect, and the likely effect of that would be to shift more people to OMIP. You
correct.
Would not be able to cover them.
Correct, because under the old rules, if you apply for an insurance policy and the carrier says yes, then you have the right to pick any policy that they offer, which means they have to be the most conservative they can possibly be in the underwriting criteria. Whereas with this bill, if you applied for a $100 deductible plan, they could say, you know, given your health risk, that's not really warranted, but we would write you a $500 deductible plan. And you could say yes or no, and if you didn't want it, you could go to the high-risk pool. All of your rights are preserved, but it also gives the carrier some flexibility to come back to you and say, well, how about this? Would this work for you?
Yeah, quick follow-up. Do you know why there was a sunset on House Bill 3431 of 2003?
Because it was a change in policy, and the insurance division asked for the sunset back then. Their concern actually was that it would be used, I never quite got this straight, somehow it would end up being used too much by the carriers and would end up with more people somehow in OMIP, which I don't understand how it could possibly happen. Their concern now is that carriers aren't actually using it enough, but we've had word just in the last couple of weeks. Pacific Source is now using it on their individual plans. Regents is trying to figure out how to fold it into their underwriting. The carriers are starting to understand that this makes it's philosophically it makes good sense. They're just trying to put it into their business practice.
Other questions? Thank you for being brief. It's good to see you. With that, we'll close the public hearing on 586A and open a work session on 586A.
Madam Chair, I move House Senate Bill 586A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. The motion is to move Senate Bill 586A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Aaron, would you call the roll?
Representative
Biden.
Aye.
Representative
Brown.
Aye.
Representative
Kent.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Excused. Do you have enough folks? Excused. Excused.
Vice Chair
Richardson. Aye. And with that, we squeak by. We'll move you to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do I have any, Representative Cannon, would you?
Consent calendar?
I'm sure I would move that this be placed on the consent calendar.
Motion has been made to move this to the consent calendar. Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Move it to the consent calendar. Thank you, gentlemen. That will close the work session on 586A, and we will carry over Senate Bill 36 and Senate Bill 163 till Monday. And I need to reopen a public hearing on Senate Bill 144A, and note for the record that we have testimony in support of the bill from the Oregon Health Care Workforce Institute, from Dr. Baggett, Dr. Chin, support from the American Society of Radiologic Technologists, and opposition from sonographer Tom Shaw. And that should do it. Close the public hearing on 144, and we're adjourned.